Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. John the Baptist sends a question to Jesus from prison. Are you the one, or do we wait for another? It's perplexing for us to hear John the Baptist asking this question. Can it be said that now he's not sure? This one who in the first chapter of John we find pointing his finger at the Lord saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." That's a man who's convinced. A cousin of Jesus, only 6 months differing in age. John, who was not known to falter in just about anything, who is not known to submit to any kind of intimidation or persecution. You basically couldn't take anything from him. He was already living as Elijah did in the wilderness, having only for his possessions a camel skin, a leather belt, and food that he would find in the wilderness, locust and honey, etc. Is it possible, as is my opinion, that it was not so much John the Baptist that needed a conversion, but the disciples that he sent to ask the question? This had happened before. John had lent his disciples to Jesus. And so here John is sitting in a prison with his disciples near him. Surely they're wondering, could anything that God has so blessed put a person in prison? And John, probably tired of explaining himself, said, "Why don't you go and meet him yourself?" They go to Jesus and ask the question, "Are you the one?" And he answers them by saying, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Wink, wink. To the two who are asking the question. Have you ever met someone who just couldn't give a yes or no answer to a question? This is one of those. Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 35, and this is a passage that we've heard, not coincidentally, today. "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue will shout for joy. For waters will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." Not only this, but Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners." This is better than a yes or no answer. He says, "Why don't you go back and on the way, the many, many miles of you getting back, think about this answer. The prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled in what you see here." He answers the question by saying, "Go and tell John that the book of Isaiah is being fulfilled. Better yet, why don't you receive that message yourself?" John the Baptist, perhaps we should consider him for a moment. John the Baptist is mentioned more than once as a fulfillment of the ministry of Elijah. There at the end of the book of the prophet Malachi, there is a promise that Elijah would return. The people of God were waiting for and watching for Elijah to return in some mysterious, mystical way, or perhaps literally Elijah himself. And so the question is asked of John, "Are you Elijah?" And the answer is no and yes. Yes and no. He himself says no, meaning that he is not literally Elijah. But Jesus says, yes, he is, if you can receive it, that strange phrase, meaning that John is the fulfillment of Elijah's ministry. I think we should take Jesus' word for it. That's what we should tend to do anyway. And so the second question, considering the ministry of Elijah, it's not a stretch to see the relationship between John the Baptist camel hair, leather belt, locust and honey, confronting political leaders of the day fearlessly. But if John the Baptist is like Elijah, then Jesus is like Elisha, the one who follows Elijah's ministry. Shall we ask Jesus, are you Elisha? And the answer is no and yes. No, he's not literally Elisha, the one who follows Elijah's ministry. But Elisha continued the ministry of Elijah with a double portion of the Spirit of God. There is no comparison. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, but there surely is a parallel. And so he certainly is a kind, a type, or a fulfillment of Elisha. But even this is utterly inadequate. There's something missing here, because now Elisha's ministry is over. Shall we say that in fulfillment of Elisha's ministry, Jesus' ministry would somehow be over? No. But the principle of ministry being passed along is what we see here. And perhaps this is what we ought to look at more closely. The principle is that God reveals a ministry. He unfurls it before his people, and then it is passed on. God empowers one for a ministry and then gives a double portion to a successor, Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, Jesus. And the message of Elijah and John the Baptist, Elisha and Jesus, points to something absolutely breathtaking and practically incomprehensible for us today, but undeniable. When Jesus has established his small group of 12 disciples, in Matthew chapter 10, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." What was Jesus known for? In his day, he was known for the power to cast out unclean spirits, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He calls his 12 together and delegates that authority to them. Sound familiar? When Jesus was about to depart and face his passion and death, he spoke to his disciples saying, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Does that sound familiar? Elijah, Elisha. When Jesus rose from the dead and was about to ascend in much the same fashion that Elijah was taken up into heaven, who had given a double portion to Elisha, the scriptures say, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Rose Sunday is meant to be a relief to those who have been focusing on those Advent themes of death, judgment, heaven, and hell, who have embraced the penitence of a deeply penitential season that anticipates the feast of the Incarnation. And on Rose Sunday, we see expressly that the season of Advent indeed is about the past, for we looked forward to the Feast of the Incarnation, which happened 2,000 years ago. It's about the long distant past of even that time, looking back to Elijah and Elisha. It is also about the future as we look for our Lord's second return, as we contemplate our own death, judgment, heaven, and hell. But it is also, this Rose Sunday, about the present. And so on this day, we hear from John the Baptist, who is in prison, in his presence, whether questioning Jesus or confirming Jesus' ministry for his disciples, either way, the question of the whole world about Jesus is this: are you the one, or do we look for another? We receive the answer in Jesus' words. We receive the answer in Jesus' works. We receive the answer in the then coming of the Holy Spirit. We receive the answer in the establishment of the church. We receive the answer in the final breaking down of death, hell, and Satan, and the eternal reality of the kingdom of God. There is reason to rejoice on Rose Sunday and to breathe fresh air on Rose Sunday. There is reason to look out at our own past, at our own future, and at our own present, and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.